Let's dive into the Word of God together. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 21. As we continue to go verse by verse, chapter by chapter through the entire Bible, on Sunday mornings we find ourselves in the Gospel of John in chapter 21. We're going to be looking at verses 7 through 14. As you can see, we're almost about to complete the Gospel of John. We're going to be moving right into the book of Acts. Just keep going through the Word of God and getting that Word into us. And Father, we thank you so much for your loving kindness and tender mercies toward us. Lord, we just pray that you would just speak a word into our hearts, a word in season that we need to hear today in Jesus' name. Amen. John 21 verses 7 through 14. The title of this message is I Quit. And this is part two of this message. I quit. Now, in part one of this study, we saw Peter say in verse 3, I am going fishing. And the other disciple said, we're going with you also. And we talked about when we get angry and frustrated and quit, and we take other people with us. Then John, the author, tells us that it was at night and they caught nothing at the end of verse 3. And we talked about how when we declare that we're done and we give up, we not only take other people with us, but it's also dark and it's very unfruitful. However, in the midst of all of this darkness, Jesus will be waiting on the shores of our lives in the morning to bring light into our dark situations, like we saw in verse 5. Then we finished up in verse 6 with Jesus telling them to cast their net on the right side of the boat. And we talked about how Jesus told them, he told them this, because whatever Jesus tells us to do, it is right. It is right. Now we pick it up in verse 7. Look what it says there in verse 7. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Let's stop right there. The word therefore is a word that always takes us back to what was previously said. In verse 6, Jesus told the disciples to cast their net on the right side of the boat. And when they did, they caught a multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, hey, Peter, hey, it's the Lord. Now, here's the question. How did John, the author, know that it was Jesus? I believe that we find the answer to this because he tells us in his description of himself that he was the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, John 13 in verse 25, John 13 in verse 25 says that John used to lean on the chest of Jesus and hear his heartbeat. That he was that close to Jesus. I mean, it sounds a little strange to us today. Another man leaned on another man's chest, but then again, I guess it doesn't sound too strange to us today. However, in this culture, it was okay to do that. He would lean on the chest of Jesus and hear the heartbeat, that he was that close to the Lord. See, when we can and when we want to have this same kind of discernment in our lives, the only way we can have this kind of discernment is if we are that close to the Lord that we can hear his heartbeat. The only way we can have the type of discernment that John had, we have to be close to the Lord. We have to hear his heartbeat, hear his heart on issues in our lives and in our society. Oh, can you say that you have the heart of Jesus when you look at this world? Oh, here's the true test. When you look at this world, what do you think? How do you feel towards those who are far from God? When you turn on the news and you see things that's going on in the news, you turn on CNN, you turn on Fox, you turn on social media, and you see what's going on in the world, how do you feel towards those who are far from God? Disgusted? Angry? Anger? Frustration? Hatred? Oh, let me show you what Jesus sees when he looks at the multitudes in this world. On one occasion in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36, it says, but when he saw the multitudes, here it is, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Oh, this is the heart of Jesus when he looks at the multitudes of the people in this world. He sees them and he is moved with compassion for them. Why, Jesus? Because they are weary. That word weary can be translated harassed. It gives the connotation of being harassed by Satan. Jesus sees the multitude being harassed by Satan, scattered with no real direction in their life, like sheep having no shepherd. One of the saddest things to see is a flock of sheep with no shepherd. That particular, those sheep, some will be going off the cliff. Some will be scattered here, scattered there. It's a sad sight to see. So when we see the multitudes in this world and we're not moved with compassion for them, then we don't have the heart of Jesus. Oh, don't say you do. No, we don't have the heart of Jesus. The only way to have the heart of Jesus is by drawing so close to him in prayer and Bible reading so that you will filter everything through his word. And when you do, then you can say with confidence, like John did, hey, guess what? It is the Lord. Now, see, there are a lot of people who say, it is the Lord. It's the Lord who told me to do this, who told me to do that. It is the Lord who said, do this and do that. I hear a lot of people say, oh, hey, a lot of Christians are good for that. Some of you are good for throwing out, it is the Lord. And the reason why you say that is so no one can challenge you on your unbiblical behavior or your actions. And so you just say, it is the Lord. So in other words, you're saying, back up. Back up. But you have to understand something here. This is something you have to see. The only way that you can throw out, it is the Lord, if you truly know it is the Lord. And you have to know the Lord's word. You have to be close to him in prayer and Bible reading so you can truly say that it is the Lord. And many people are saying that. And some of you need to stop saying that. You don't read the Bible. You don't study the word of God. You don't know the heartbeat of Jesus. You might throw up a token prayer every now and then. But you need to be careful when you say something is the Lord. Well, it is the Lord. And who told me to tell you this or tell you that. And I'm always said, did the Lord forget where I live? Did he forget my address? Is my heart so hardened towards the Lord that he has to tell you to come tell me something? Did he forget how to communicate with me? I don't think so. And so before you are so quick to throw out something as being of the Lord, you need to have a closeness with the Lord, an intimacy with him, that you can determine what is the Lord and what is not the Lord. Oh, the Lord told us to move in together. The Lord didn't tell you that. Stop lying on the Lord. The Lord didn't tell you to play house. He didn't tell you that. Stop lying on the Lord. And many people do. Look at the second part of verse 7. Notice what it says there. It says, now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. So it says that when Peter heard that it was the Lord, he was like, wow. He put on his outer garment, plunged into the sea. Now it is believed that Peter had only a loincloth on, so he can be unhindered in doing his job of fishing. You have to understand that in this particular time, fishing was hard work, and they were constantly throwing in nets and pulling up nets with fish in it. The net was heavy, and they're sweating, they're working hard, they're cleaning the nets, mending them. And so they didn't want anything on them to hinder them from doing this work. So they will remove their outer garment, and it's believed that Peter had on a loincloth, and so he can be unhindered in doing his work. As I was going over my notes yesterday, I just paused right here. I sensed that there was something more to this. I said, Lord, what is it? Is there something more here about Peter just putting on his outer garment for he had removed? I said, Lord, I think that there's something here. What else is it here? And the Lord began to speak to my heart that, you know, so often I just wonder what it is that we have on or in our life that's hindering us from doing the work of being a fisher of men. Hey, let me tell you, being a fisherman is hard work. And so often we have things in our lives and on our lives that's heavy, that's hindering us and keeping us from doing the work of being a fisher of men. So often today, Christianity just consists of coming to church every now and then saying you believe in God, and that's Christianity. And the real work of Christianity is being a fisher of men. You've heard me say many times that there's all kind of things we can do in heaven. We can worship God, because many people, you ask them, what is the purpose of the church? Well, we come to worship God. Okay, we're going to do that in heaven. Well, we come to get taught the word of God. Okay, well, we're going to be sitting at the feet of Jesus. I think that that's the greatest Bible study we will ever get. But there's one thing we can't do in heaven. We can't be a fisher of men in heaven. We can't lead people to Christ in heaven. It's a wrap. That's what we're here to do. And I believe that there are many of us that have things in our lives we're hindered. We have things in clothing and things in our life that's keeping us from being the fisher of men that God will want us to be. And I'm just thinking about that. So here's Peter. Here's Peter. He had removed his outer garment. He puts it on and plunged into the sea. Another question I have is, why would Peter put on this outer garment when he knew that he was about to plunge into the sea? Well, because in Jewish culture, the exchange of greetings was considered a religious act to be carried out. And it wasn't carried out unless both parties were properly dressed. And Peter knew he was about to come and meet Jesus, his teacher, his rabbi. And he didn't want to come and greet him in a loincloth. So he put on his outer garment so he can be properly dressed when he greeted the Lord. Another question is, why was Peter in such a hurry to get to Jesus? Why wouldn't he just wait like John did until the boat came to shore? Why would he feel that he needed to plunge into the water and get there? Well, I believe that Peter couldn't wait to get to Jesus because he needed to know if he were forgiven. He needed to know if he was forgiven. Or maybe some of you are here today and you're wondering, like Peter, whether you can be forgiven. I believe that there were some of you that rushed to get here to church so you can hear a song, hear a lyric, hear some message that tells you that you can be forgiven no matter what you have done. Maybe even denied the Lord. And no matter how many times you have done it, Peter did it 3 times, and maybe you denied the Lord more than once. You're in good company because Peter did the same thing. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus is ready to forgive you like he's about to do Peter in these verses. Look what he says there in verse 8. But the other disciple came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Now, the other disciples came in the little boat because John, who was there, tells us that they were not far from land, about 200 cubits. Now, 200 cubits is approximately 100 yards. A cubit is considered the distance between a man's elbow to the tip of his middle finger, and it's around 18 inches. And so 200 cubits is around 100 yards, about the length of a football field. Look what it says there in verse 9. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. Now, John tells us as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. In other words, all night long, the disciples were looking for fish on their own when Jesus already had what they were looking for. Oh, this is a valuable lesson for us to learn. When we get frustrated and want to give up and quit, when we want to go back, we will find that what we're looking for isn't back there. It is with the Lord. In other words, the Lord has what we're looking for, freshly grilled, ready to eat. And what the world offers is like cotton candy. Oh, it's sweet to the taste, but it dissolves quickly. What Jesus offers is a hearty, healthy meal. Notice, grilled fish over hot coals. And notice my favorite, and bread. You no carb, no bread eating folk. And let me tell you something. I'm going to go to every restaurant. I'm going to get that bread and that butter. and I'm going to lather it on up, and I'm going to enjoy myself. Because it's biblical. Jesus said it was bread. Bread, right? I'm just trying to be biblical. It's biblical right there. They're bread. Good old bread. Good old, I know, I can tell you the restaurant's got the best bread now. I'm telling you. Some good bread. So, do you want, here's the question, do you want cotton candy or do you want a hearty meal? And yes, in here you would say, yes, I want a hearty, healthy meal, but many of you are settling for the cotton candy of this world. A cheap thrill from some drug that gives temporary delight, but it is gone until the next hit or the next snort. Now, that sounds like cotton candy to me. Or some of you live for the cotton candy of the weekend at some party, at some club, at some bar, only to wake up the next morning and realize that once again you have settled for cotton candy. A sweet delight, but nothing hearty, nothing that sticks to your bones. And I'm telling you, I see this all of the time. Because in here you say, yes, I want a hearty meal. And what's so amazing is that you will settle for a hearty meal when you get home. You go to a restaurant, you order grilled this and grilled chicken and grilled this. And you eating grilled things at home. But spiritually, you settle for cotton candy. And I see it all the time. Some cheap thrill of the weekend or some cheap thrill, this one night stand here or this sort of thing there. I see this all the time. So it's amazing how physically you will settle for that which is hearty and healthy, but spiritually you'll try to live on cotton candy. Oh, I've seen this before. And this is the thing that we have to search our own hearts about. Because here's Jesus offering a hearty meal, but spiritually you will settle for cotton candy. Some cheap thrill, some one night cheap thrill that you have. And it's amazing what people will do. Look at verses 10 and 11. It says, Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Now, Jesus tells them in verse 10 to bring some of the fish that they just caught. Then in verse 11, it says that Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land. Wait a minute. I find this fascinating because according to verse 6, all of the disciples could not lift the net because of the multitude of fish. But now Peter in verse 11 was able to drag the net to land by himself. How is that? Because what God commanded Peter to do, he gave him the power and strength to do. Oh, this is what's amazing. In other words, what God has called us to do, he will give us the power to carry out. And no matter how difficult the task or how heavy the net we're trying to drag in, God's calling is his enabling. And now what is the significance of the 153 fish? Well, according to the historian Jerome, this is what amazing. The Greek zoologists in his day, they identified approximately 153 different kinds of fish in the world. Oh, we know that there's over 30,000 different kind of fish in the world today. However, at this time, the zoologists identified approximately 153 different kind of fish in the world. Maybe suggesting how the net of the gospel could capture a wide range of converts from around the world. And it has happened. It has happened. There are people, all we have to do is just look around this room. There are people from every nation, tongue, tribe, and people. In just in this room alone, letting us know that the net of the gospel has reached around the world. I love the last part of verse 11 that says, and although there were so many, the net was not broken. Showing us that we are safe in the Lord's net. The Lord is able to keep us. Like 1 Peter 1:5 says, we're kept by the power of God through faith. We don't have to worry about the net breaking and some of the fish not making it to shore. No, the net singular was not broken. Oh, it reminds me of what Jesus said in John 18 and verse 9, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spoke, of those whom you gave me, I have lost none. In other words, you're safe in the Lord's net, and the net didn't break. It wasn't like they were dragging the net to land and there was a hole in it and some of the fish didn't make it to shore. No, they caught 153 fish and then they dragged 153 fish to land. You're safe with the Lord. You know why I bring that up? Some of you didn't think you were going to make it this week. You didn't think you were going to make it. And here you are, you made it through the week. Some of you are not sure whether you're going to make it at the end. Hey, let me tell you something. The net was not broken. The net was not broken. I love that about the Lord. The final thing I want you to see concerning the number 153, is that the Lord knows who you are. That you're not just a number in a net. But he took the time to make sure, watch this, that you were counted. In other words, you have value and worth in the eyes of the Lord. I say this because there are so many people who feel lonely and just a number in the midst of 7.1 billion people in the world today, wondering whether God even knows who they are. I'm here to tell you, God knows who you are because he made sure you were counted. He made sure you were counted, just like the shepherd counted the sheep in Luke 15 in verses 1 through 7, when he realized, watch this, after counting that one was missing, he left the 99 and went after the one that was lost. And maybe you have lost your way like this one sheep did. And our good shepherd Jesus Christ will come looking for you too. And this is why I believe that you're here today. Because he first came looking for you and drew you here to hear this message. Oh, there's any Sunday that you could have heard the message, but he wanted you to hear this one. This is why I tell people when I see folks in the foyer, I say, hey, are you waiting for somebody? Yeah, I'm waiting for somebody. I invited a coworker. And then I see him later on. Did your coworker come? No. And I said, don't worry. I said, there is a specific message that I'm going to give that's tailor-made just for that coworker. And when I'm going to give it, I don't know when that is. God is going to place it on their heart to be here, to hear that message. Then they're going to leave here and say, did you tell him about me? I felt he was talking just to me. There's a reason for that. Therefore, God drew you here today. And it's time to come home to him. It's time to come back. It's enough fooling around out there, trying to survive on cotton candy. It's enough of that. Jesus wants you to come. Come and feast on a hearty meal that he offers. Oh, I'm going to come back to that. Look at verses 12 through 14. So Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dare ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. And Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. And this is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Now, when they came to shore, Jesus invites them in verse 12 to come and to eat breakfast. Even after his resurrection, Jesus is showing his disciples how much he loves and cares for them. He provides breakfast for them. He is also showing them what you're looking for is found in him. In other words, with God, you will never hunger again. Oh, I believe the Lord is telling us the same thing. Come and eat, and you will never hunger again for the cotton candy of this world. Why? Because you will be satisfied in him. Oh, I got to ask us this question. This is a very penetrating question, but a question that we must be honest with ourselves in answering. Are you satisfied with Jesus today? Or is it Jesus and something else? Jesus and a new wife, Jesus and a new husband, Jesus and a new boyfriend or girlfriend, Jesus and a promotion, Jesus and a new car. Oh, it's all this Jesus plus something else. to make us happy. We can't just be happy and satisfied with Jesus alone. It has to be Jesus and something else, a raise, a check in the mail. Then I'm happy. We can't be just satisfied with Jesus. What's wrong with us? That we can't be satisfied with just him. It has to be him and something else. We can't just be satisfied with him. I'm just amazed at this. I'm amazed at us as Christians here in today's time. I just wonder, you know, if it was a situation, and I'm including myself in this. If it was a situation like Job, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I wonder if we can say that. Oh, many of us. Oh, we could. We can say the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, but we can't say blessed be the name of the Lord. We're cursed, God. I thought you loved me. I thought you cared about me. I thought I was your child and all this kind of stuff. If the Lord was to take it all away, could we just be satisfied with him? This is for all of us here. Especially for us spoiled Americans who have it all. Go around the world and try to live for a little bit. You'll be longing to get on that plane to head back over here to the country you curse and you can't stand and it's a mess and all that kind of stuff. Yes, our country is a mess. I served our country. Yes, it is a mess, but I don't want to be anywhere else. I can tell you that. I can tell you that. It's a mess, but I take it in this messed up condition than being somewhere else. I can think of some places that none of us will want to go. How about the Middle East? I just wonder if it was all gone, could we be satisfied with Jesus? Just him. Just him. Or do we always got to have something else on the list? Jesus plus. You know, you're going somewhere, they want to know if you plus one. Well, Jesus plus. It's always plus something else. I just wonder about these things, that he has everything you're looking for out in this world. Do you want love? He gives love. He's called the God of love. You want peace? Things are chaotic in your life. He gives peace. He's called the God of peace. You want joy? He said the joy of the Lord will be our strength. And you're trying to be strong in your own might. The Bible says be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. But we're trying to do it in our might and have joy our way. He says that the joy of the Lord would be our strength. The joy of the Lord will be our strength. He's promised that our joy will be full. So as you got to watch the scene, as they're around this fire with grilled fish and bread, and I bet the disciples were kind of eating and just kind of looking and just wondering. I believe they were blown away because they were feeling guilty for their disobedience, for going back to regular fishing when Jesus called them to be fishers of men. The last thing he told them is, meet me on this mountain, you know, when I'm resurrected. And here they are fishing. They've gone fishing. So they were disobedient. And I'm sure that they're eating and just kind of looking and just kind of, oh boy, you know, they were blown away at the gracious invitation by Jesus to call them to come and eat with him. Oh, you got to understand. See, for us to eat with somebody means nothing. In this culture, to eat with the person was to become one with them. It spoke of an intimacy. It spoke of a oneness because they would have a loaf of bread, one loaf, and they would have this dish, this little stew, this little kind of bowl of some kind of sauce. And so they had that. And so it's there. And so they'd break off a piece of bread, dip it in the sauce. They would eat it. You break off a piece, dip it in the sauce, and you eat it. And the same one loaf that is sustaining your body is sustaining my body, and we're becoming one. So it's a very intimate thing to eat. So they were blown away. Here they are in their disobedient state, blown away that Jesus will invite them to come and eat. Oh, they were blown away at this. To the point where John tells us in verse 12 that none of the disciples dare ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Now, this isn't the first time that they were amazed at the Lord, because after Jesus rebuked the storm and there was a calm, In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 27, it says, so the men marveled, saying, who can this be that even the winds and sea obey him? Oh, in the Greek language, it clears it up and makes it even more emphatic. It says, what sort of man is this that the winds and sea obey him? And this time they were amazed that Jesus invites them to come and eat after they disobeyed what he told them to do. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus wants you to leave here amazed, just like the disciples, amazed at his love, amazed at his forgiveness, amazed at his gracious invitation to come and eat. He could have left you out wherever it is you do on the weekends, and he could have left you out there. But he gave you the gracious invitation to come and to eat, and that's why you're here today.
Well, I'm here because, you know, I'm just so tired of my neighbor inviting me to come, and so I decided to come. Okay, that may be the case.
No, but you're here because Jesus invited you to come and to be here. And so there are others of you who are here to say, you know what, I've come already in the past, and I've blown it again. Yes, but verse 14 says, this is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. And he wants to show himself to you again for the third time, or fourth time, or fifth time. He will always invite us to come and eat a hearty meal and leave the cotton candy alone. The question is, will you come? Or will you remain in your disobedience? The choice is yours. I love that he gives the invitation to come, meaning that we can come if we want to, or we can leave here and just continue to do us. Or we can do that. Choice is ours. But Jesus invites you to come. He invites you to come. Now, here's the thing. What about Peter? Surely Peter is sitting there, clothes all wet. You know, everybody else came on the boat. Peter had to jump in. And so his clothes all wet. He's looking. Jesus got anything to say to me? We have to wait until next week to find out. We pick it up in verse 15. Now, let me conclude with this. We saw, even when we feel like quitting and giving up, Jesus comes after us until he finds us. That none of the 153 fish that were caught were lost. Keep in mind that what we're looking for in this world, Jesus has for us grilled and with bread. And what the world offers is like cotton candy. Do you want cotton candy or a hearty meal? Finally, if you're here and you feel lost and ashamed that you have blown it again, Jesus wants to appear to you the third time, like we see in verse 14. The question is, will you come? I pray that you will, because there's going to be some people to pray with you about these things. And once again, you can leave here in your disobedient state. You can. You can. You can leave here. But Jesus invited you to come for a reason. You're here for a reason. You're not here by chance. You're not here because, oh, I finally got a Sunday off. Now, you're not here because of all that. You're here because the Lord invited you to be here. And there's going to be some people to pray with you about these things. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your loving kindness and tender mercies. Thank you for your grace towards us, Lord. And we pray that you would do a work in our hearts, drawing your people unto you today. Draw by your Spirit. Lord, I pray for those who are here who've never repented of their sin, accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. I pray that today will be the day of salvation. Lord, there are some that need to renew their relationship with you. They've been backslidden. They've been far from you. They need to come home. Draw your people unto you by your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.